Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
And Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7.
And online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello and welcome in. It is the Monday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio. Bill Cameron is here. I believe he's getting himself a little bit of water before he situates in for today's broadcast. But you got the big three. The big three are here, and Brian Matthews, our special guest on Mondays from AuburnSports.com, will be joining us momentarily. I'm Dan Peck. Bill Cameron is sitting in the captain's chair.
Yeah, Dan called me. And I was stuck on the bridge, the Wrights Mill Road bridge over the interstate.
Can I jump in for a second and say, when I call Bill and he's mid-tirade aimed at somebody else, and hey, that's what I'm getting
the first
couple of seconds of that call.
No, I thought maybe you had ridden by and seen the car
I did not.
There on Wrights Mill Road.
I was just calling to tell you that I'd left campus a little bit late and I may be pushing it to make it, but you, in fact, you had me beat.
As a matter of fact, I was right. I did. Fortunately, here's the situation. A lot of lights are triggered by, the car's weight or, the infrared, whatever, that would indicate that there is a car coming in the less traveled or the not the prominent road. East University is, on East University, where Wrights Mill Road crosses the interstate, East University is going to take precedence. And when cars are coming down, going north on Wrights Mill Road and wanting to turn left on East University as they cross the bridge, if you don't trip that light, it is not going to change. So here's what happened. I left my house at 3:35, and I'm going up Wrights Mill Road, and I get to the bridge, and I get about halfway on the bridge, and the light's red, so it's no big deal. I stop. I'm about the eighth or ninth car in line. And then three or four more cars get behind me, and about 4 minutes later, I realized, this first car, the Jeep, has not tripped the light, and it's not going to change. And then a few more minutes go by, and I was about, when Dan called, I was yelling out the window at the cars ahead to let him know, or her, to either back up or pull forward a little bit to try to trip the light. So Dan called and let me know that. Fortunately, whoever was in the Jeep, I didn't have their tag. They ran the red light. They just went ahead. I mean, they'd been sitting there 10 minutes waiting for the light to change, and their car's behind him beeping at him.
Right.
So he ran the red light. When they ran the red light, the light tripped, and we were able to finally clear the bridge. But it was one of those, I may do the show from the bridge today.
And so I'm,
that's another station on Sirius.
I navigate,
that is.
We almost had to put you on lithium, which is another one on lithium. I was making my way through the, I actually made pretty good time and got to the station.
I did too, after I talked to you.
And I'm moseying to the radio station, listening to Phil Collins. Do a little Sioux Studio, Brian. Listening to that, and I look in my rearview mirror. That's Bill Cameron right behind me. I better speed up. And sure enough, Bill and I both get here on time. But it was a bit of an ordeal. A busy week in Auburn. As I think it's going to be. I think now until graduation, it's going to feel like sort of prime spring, the end of the semester. You got concert events and things going on this week, and a lot of graduation-related events are going to start to pick up. I think graduation itself is just under 3 weeks away.
Wow!
So
that's amazing.
The spring semester is winding down, and we're going to have. And I believe correct me if I'm wrong. Tomorrow is the opening of the portal. Is tomorrow?
Yes, officially tomorrow, the 16th.
We thought it was the 15th, but tomorrow.
Yeah,
tomorrow,
yeah, right?
And somebody pointed
a lot of players are going ahead and announcing that they're going to enter the portal.
Somebody pointed out something really interesting, and I'd love to to get Brian to jump in on this as we as we sort of fold into, unless there's far more pressing stuff. But Brian, the ruling that came down back in December, it was deep in the first portal window. When the ruling came down that said multiple time undergraduate transfers will retain their eligibility.
Right.
If you remember, when the December portal window opened in college football, the first portal window, the one right after the season, undergraduates who had already transferred were under the impression that if they transferred again, they would have had to sit out a year.
Right.
A lot of guys who I think would have gone into the portal stayed wherever they were because they thought they'd be ineligible if they jumped back into the portal. And if that's true, we could have a whole bunch of guys emboldened by that new ruling who know that they will be eligible immediately. And maybe even some guys who came to Auburn, undergraduates who transferred into Auburn last year who aren't sure about their status on this year's team. There could be a flurry of movement starting tomorrow with mid-major players and FCS players who can help major conference contenders jumping into the portal and getting themselves a new home.
Yes, and Auburn will be in the market for a defensive tackle, a wide receiver potentially, and maybe even a buck or edge guy. And, like you said, I think at any school like Auburn, similar, if there's a player that's not really sure about his status for this season or has been in the program for a couple of years and is not, in the – regular rotation at his position.
I would say especially the guys that weren't recruited by Hugh Freeze.
Yeah.
Right? You think about especially the players who maybe were holdovers from the previous administration. Like, those would be guys especially where if they're not – although Hugh Freeze recruits too. Like, if they're not sure, if they're entering year two or year three in college football and they look to have multiple options in front of them on the depth chart, that's a situation where a lot of guys sort of decide to find a new home around the sport. And it sounds like there could be, how surprised would you be if this time tomorrow we're talking about players on the current Auburn roster right now who are going into the transfer portal?
Oh, I would expect it.
Yeah, I'd almost be surprised if we weren't.
Yeah.
Maybe not all tomorrow, but I would expect.
But why wait?
I would expect a player or two would go ahead.
Why wait to reopen your recruitment if you know you're going in the portal? If you think you're sticking around, there's a reason to
Yeah,
to
yeah.
Give it time,
I mean, but. I guess the only reason to wait might be you haven't talked with your family. I don't know. There is really no reason
to wait.
You don't want to be in there with everybody else that gets in there on the first day.
Get your summer semester paid for first.
There's also a 24-hour delays, and
that's
stuff
right.
Like that,
before so, things get, right. I mean, before things are official, before players officially show up.
Some players don't announce before they go in. Some players announce when they go in, and some just wait till it to pop up, when they're actually in the portal, which could be a little while later.
So as for Auburn's shopping list, we can jump right into that, right? I mean, Hugh Freeze has identified receiver and defensive line as positions where Auburn might want to add somebody who can help them this year. I keep thinking it would be – I'm not saying they're going to do it, but if they don't add anyone at edge – it's a huge vote of confidence in the young players behind McLeod. Because you're a McLeod injury away from relying on a lot of guys who haven't played any
red shirt or true freshman.
It's a bunch of players who have never played college football before. And if Auburn feels confident in that group and their potential, they'll stand pat in the portal in the edge. I could see them looking for an Elijah McAllister-esque veteran to add to the mix who would be happy to be McLeod's backup and get playing time here and there, but would also be a contributor to a major conference college football team, which can be alluring if depending on what kind of options they have. But it would be that's a position. Edge rusher seems like a position on top of D-line and receiver where I could see Auburn thinking maybe we need to solidify what we have after our starter.
Yeah, and I think there are a couple of guys out there that look like candidates. I would sort of expect, yes, Auburn look for a one-year guy at edge. And then defensive line, Brian, I think they'd like to get whatever they can on the interior defensive line. It doesn't have to just be a one and done. If they find somebody who they feel like can help them for multiple years, sure, they'd go get that as well.
Yeah, and they offered the Indiana defensive tackle.
Blitty or
grad transfer, one year left. Yeah.
And he's coming for an official visit. I think it's real soon. So that's one that they're jumping on really, really early, and that's just a sign of how aggressive I think they're going to be to fill these important spots.
I saw it was the last time Durkin was a defensive coordinator, or maybe it was his final season at Maryland, where it was like he's big on rotating defensive linemen. Like it is a trademark of a DJ Durkin defense.
I think that's a trademark of a good defense. I really like that. And
unless you have two or three players that are indispensable superstars, you know, if you have three NFL players on your defensive line right now, I understand wanting to play them as much as possible. But I think without that, you can try to make up by getting the best possible 15 or 20 snaps per game out of, you know, it depends on how big the rotation's going to be. Right now, Auburn's got, like, give me the Bill Cameron depth chart on the interior defensive line, Bill. Like, guys,
all right. I love the Bill Cameron
candidates for snaps right now, interior.
Interior, Trill Carter, Gage Keys, Jason Jones are your most experienced guys.
Is Keldrick an option for snaps on the interior, or do you think he's sort of where he, like, that?
I think he can slide inside on third and seven.
Again, because we're trying to, it's like Moneyball, the book and the movie. We're trying to aggregate to 80 or 90 snaps through. You just name three guys. Add Keldrick to that mix. That's four.
Bobby Jamison Travis.
DJ Reed would maybe be in there. How about Blackman from Blockton.
TJ Lindsay true freshman.
Malik Blockton. Yeah, from Pike Road. You've got Zykevious would be in that mix too.
Yeah,
I mean, there's.
Yeah, he's also more of a strong side in, but he could slide. He could slide in.
I would say you know, eight. You've got eight, or you know, you've got borderline eight right now. If everybody stays in the mix, that could change.
That's right.
I think at D tackle they really are, maybe at nose guard both. They really want somebody that can come in and maybe be the starter, maybe be an impact type player if they can find that guy.
At least compete for the starting spot.
Right. I think they feel like they've got good depth. They got good rotation. Well, they need a little bit more depth, but I think they feel like if they could get maybe a real difference maker in there to step up for one season and allow these young guys they recruited in this last class. In this upcoming 25 class, they've already got some really good defensive line commitments, and they're going to get some more. Mm-hmm. And give those guys time to develop a little bit. The guys are already in program. So I think getting a guy with 1 year or 2 years of eligibility left would be perfect.
Yeah, so and I think that's also a big if. I mean, one of the things we've talked about the last few days, it was a little surprising to hear Hugh Freeze mention receivers, but not really when you think about it. I mean, Auburn doesn't have – that many numbers returning. Also, that would indicate to me, Brian, that they probably won't all be back either of the ones that they have right now.
I think that's possible. We saw Cam Coleman coming here and really, to me, in my opinion, I know nobody's named him that, to be a starter, right? That's what's going to happen.
Well, the first guys out there in A-Day were three newcomers. Yeah, exactly. BK was Cam Coleman, Sam Jackson, and Robert Lewis.
Yep, and was Sam on the outside and Robert on the inside, or was it the other way around?
I think it was Robert was on the outside, okay. Sam was on the inside.
I think Cam and Robert were your primary outside guys.
That, to me, says a whole lot about those guys, number one, but it also says to maybe some returning guys, maybe it's going to be a little bit tougher.
Yep.
And
as tough as it is now, Perry Thompson and Malcolm Simmons are showing up this summer, and you've seen both of those guys up close, and they both profile as players who could play receiver in the SEC as true freshmen.
Well, I don't know if Perry's going to be as good as Cam Coleman, but he might be. He's another dude, right?
But he's going to be behind
because he didn't come through spring, but he has that potential to be another starter as a true freshman or close to it.
And I think because Auburn landed Cam Coleman, the pressure on Perry Thompson to be Auburn's number one receiver as a true freshman or something like that, I don't think there's as much of that, considering that he's also arriving in the summertime. But any contribution you get from Perry Thompson is also, so you know, those are snaps. Any snaps Perry earns during the season, you know, are snaps that a veteran, you know, would be, you know, the alternative would be one of the guys we're talking about.
And I will say I thought that Cannon Brown really showed improvement this spring.
I felt like he really seemed to come on down the stretch. All right, we're just getting underway here on the Monday edition of The Drive. We'd love for you to join in. How can you do so? You can give us a call on The Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. That number, 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Let's get to the Drive hotline before we get to our first break, and Tom is up first. Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Can y'all hear me?
Got you fine.
Awesome. I want to talk a little bit about baseball. My wife and I went to the game on Saturday, and we were so excited. It was looking so well, and they just crumbled.
Oh, yeah. When Tanner Bauman came out,
it was hard to explain because they set it up just how they wanted it to.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Tanner had his best outing in probably 2 or 3 weeks at least.
Mm-hmm. Maybe as good as he's
He threw,
been all year.
Was it four shutout innings and gave up, I think, a single to start the fifth. And you bring in the guy who basically no-hit Tennessee for four innings.
Yeah, the guy who's
earlier.
Been your best pitcher.
Right, and it just didn't work out. And then even when it didn't work out for John, the next guy and the next guy and the next guy, it just.
Whew. Yeah, I was really surprised and have been all season that, you know, a lot of these pitchers or these guys have been around for several years. It's not like they're, you know, true freshmen out there on the mound. Many of them are veterans. And I don't know. It's more than frustrated. I'm nice and calm now. It's been several days. It was no fun out there on Saturday at all. So anyway,
I got to listen to most of the broadcast Saturday. I was doing some stuff outside, and I was able to listen to the call and that 3-run home run to sort of break it open for the first one for Kentucky. I mean, it felt like it was weird too. Cause, I mean, you think 7 runs is enough, but it was uneasy. Maybe before the 3-run homer, but from the moment Kentucky hit that 3-run homer to cut it to 4, it felt like it was very much still a ball game, even though Auburn had built what's usually a fairly
seven run lead in the mid innings.
Secure. I mean, you go up, you get into the fifth up 7. Your win probabilities in the somewhere in the 90s.
And then I think they got 3. Was it 3? And then they came back and got a 6-run. I can't remember exactly what it was.
The double ties it with the bases loaded.
Yeah.
They get it to 4 on a solo homer, and then the 3 runs gets it to 7 in the subsequent inning, and it didn't feel. I mean, maybe the solo homer. Be interested to know Tom's thoughts on sort of when he knew it was trending away from Auburn.
Well, I'm trying to think. It seems like we did not stay the whole time. I believe it was in the 6th inning.
Yeah.
And seems like one of our new pitchers came in. They hit another home run, and I was like, okay, that's it.
Yeah.
I'm done. And I don't know. I wonder if someone could look up and see just how many homers our pitching staff has given up this year.
In conference, it's been a lot.
Yeah, I actually wrote that in my game story. Let me pull it up real quick. Just over the last few weeks. But it's I think it was 11 in the Kentucky series, which is a lot.
And it was 14 in the Tennessee series.
Yep, and it was
They cut it down this past weekend. But, I wasn't able to be there Friday or Saturday because we had the 2-year-old granddaughter, and that's Friday night was around her bedtime. Saturday was her nap time. But we were there Thursday, and that one hurt. That one hurt badly because that's one – Auburn should have won the game Thursday. You make a play on a routine ground ball to third base, and you win the ball game.
Yeah, it's just...
yeah, and I think that's at least, you know, if we were losing, but it was, you know, by a run or two here or there. But most of these are not even close
lately. Yeah,
most of them were just getting blasted, and so anyway, thank you guys for. Taking my call.
Absolutely. If you want some more pain, we'll find some numbers we can pass along to you here.
It was 11, then 14 at Tennessee, and then the week before 9 at A&M, Texas A&M. That's just a lot of home runs.
Yeah, that's 32 homers.
I just
in nine games.
The question to me is now, and I defer it to people who have observed the team much more closely than I have this season and in years past. But is there a belief that, and I'm not necessarily even talking about this season, the next time Auburn has a good pitching staff, will it involve guys who are currently on this roster, or is it going to involve when this season's over, they're going to have to go find a lot of new talent to bring into this pitching staff to avoid results like this?
The crazy thing is, in the preseason, and I know I wrote this several times, one of the biggest talking points was Auburn returning 80% of his innings.
That was considered the strength of this team.
Right. That was going to be what
year.
You relied on.
Yeah.
And a lot of those guys are veteran guys that I think will probably move on anyway. But when you look at this staff right now, to me, Cam Tilley, regardless of how it turned out Sunday, he really struggled throwing his breaking stuff. The only pitch he could throw for strikes was his fastball, and that's not going to work at this level. But he has had moments where he's been really good, and he's only a true freshman. I still think you can build upon him. The kid, I think it's Griffin Graves, the freshman that came in and gave up that home run immediately. I just see a lot of potential in him. He's a little bit smaller kid, but he's got that bulldog mentality, I feel like, from my observations. And I think he's going to make some steps too. But I just they're going to have to go out in this transfer portal. We'll see what freshmen they can bring in. But I think part of the problem with the staff right now is some of the freshmen they signed in the previous couple of classes that you – thought would be
they had
starters,
they had three guys that were really highly ranked from a couple of years ago that
don't contribute I'm not trying to put it on those young men but
it just hasn't
worked out for him. And then there's a lot of guys, and then you take a guy like Joseph, he was going to be your number one last year, he got hurt, you were hoping he could come back and be the number one this year, it just has not worked out. So there's just been kind of it's just one thing on top of another with that pitching staff, and some other guys that returned have just been really inconsistent.
But you think about besides Pride, I know we got to take a break, but you think about besides Pride, what else you're playing for when you're 2-13 with 15 SEC games left? No, but for these young pitchers, guys with eligibility remaining, you're trying to make an argument that you belong.
You're either pitching for more a more prominent role for the rest of this year, or to, perhaps show somebody else that you've got something. Yeah.
And roster spots and scholarships are very valuable.
They are
in college baseball. So you're pitching to make an argument that you belong in the picture for next year's team.
All right, we need to get to our first break. We're not done talking baseball. We'll do that, but we've got plenty to talk about. Love for you to join us here on the Monday Drive.
Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Monday, and we just liven things up, spice things up as Brian broke out a jar of Uncle Keith's red sauce. One of our we're very, very happy to have him as part of the Auburn Network family of sponsors. We really, really appreciate
that.
Can I say it?
All right. When you handed Drew the bag of chips,
you thought I was going to tip the bowl over.
The bowl tipped a little bit.
Yeah, but hey,
salsa bowl moved, and it's very close to our equipment.
No.
I held my breath.
The salsa is Drew. It's strong enough that it wasn't going to go. I can tell. No.
We almost spiced up.
Well, I need a little swallow. Need a little swallow of water though.
This is excellent. Brian Matthews from ArmoredSports.com. Tell us about this excellent.
Well, it's awesome that we share a sponsor, right? Keith's Red Sauce Uncle Keith's Red Sauce is going to sponsor my Monday Musings, my column.
Oh, that's
every
good.
Monday, which is going to be great. And of course, they sponsor this radio station.
Oh,
they show.
Absolutely.
And just to tell you a little bit about it, I was a customer first. I was at Kroger's here in town. They were there giving out samples. I tried them. I'm like, my goodness, this is really good. And I just started talking to Keith and Greg, and it was great to get to know them. And here we are now, a few weeks later. But it's delicious, and it's homegrown right here in the Auburn Opelika area. So it's, you know, part of this state, part of this area of the
country.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, I heard a little of the story. I haven't had a chance to talk to Keith about it, but I mean, yeah, it's something that he was doing, and everybody that tried some of, yes, you know, his own was like, man, you need to go ahead and bottle this stuff. You need to put it out for everybody.
Yeah. Well, for 7 years, it was a family thing, right? Uh-huh. You take it to tailgates, you take it to Thanksgiving, Christmas, and then one day one of his friends, that friend's daughter, she went to the refrigerator to get some more because she wanted a snack, and they were out, and she was like, Dad, I need some more of Uncle Keith's red sauce, and that's when the name was born, right there on that day, and here it is, and it's really delicious. I would recommend just giving it a try. It just takes one bite, one taste, and you will be hooked.
Oh, it is a serious salsa. Yep. It's really good.
And you know what I would say? For folks who are, because I know salsa is a little bit polarizing, you know, uh-huh, even some folks, but like, I think you go a little bit at a time, you build up a taste for it. And you know, I used to be firmly no salsa. I had some when I was younger.
I was very slow to salsa too because it had some things that whatever.
And I had some that, you know, it's either too much of it or you're exposed to like very spicy salsa that makes you think all salsa is like that. But there's an excellent flavor to this red sauce.
Really,
there's a kick. But it is, it's wonderful stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep, you can get it at Kroger's here in town. Right. You can get it at Publix across the state, basically. Piggly Wiggly carries it around here in Columbus, up in Birmingham. And then there's a store, down Renfro's, Phoenix City. Yep. Huh. That area.
I think they have one. I think Renfro's. Well, there's a Renfro's location near East Chase. I don't know if they would have it too. It's not too far away. But yeah, there's one Chantilly and East Chase. They're off of Exit 11.
It's good, y'all. Is their slogan, and that sums it up just about right.
Yeah, you don't need to say anymore. It is. It's really good.
Yep.
All right. I'll tell you what. Let's get caught up. We ran a little long with our first break. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join in. 334-321-1390 is the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Text us on the drive text box presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. 334-564-1840. Come on in here on the Monday Drive.
Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7.
Online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Monday afternoon. Right, a gorgeous day. It is warm, though. We hit 80 around 10 o'clock this morning. And get used to it. I mean,
it feels like 100 and something right now. Well, I've been acclimated to it.
There's a little more humidity than there's been. Yeah. The temperature's a little bit warmer. So, yeah, hot times are here, and they're here for a while. Yeah. So just get ready for it. So, yeah, if you've got a lot of things to do, I would advise you to try to do them as early as you can. You know, people think, well, I'll do it either at 8 in the morning or 5 in the afternoon is going to be really, really hot.
Folks. Yeah, try to do it at 8 if you can.
Yeah, I would say so.
We were talking about baseball. I just wanted to cut in real quick. Joseph Gonzalez is going to get the start tomorrow night against Georgia Tech coming into town.
It's Military Appreciation Night. And hey, great lead in there, Brian. We've got tickets
for
tomorrow night's game. If you'd like to go to the Auburn-Georgia Tech game tomorrow night, just give us a call. And Drew will set you up with tickets. We'll give them away. I'm not going to limit anything right now. I thought it was a good crowd Thursday. Like I said, we couldn't make it Friday or Saturday because we had Kennedy, our 2-year-old granddaughter. But there have been good crowds.
They set the record. Was it 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago.
Against Tennessee?
And they set it and reset it for a few games. Now, and I know they've struggled. If you'd like to go see them tomorrow night against Georgia Tech, man, you'd hope what they really need is they need one guy to just click and have it work. If Joseph were to be able to just find himself, that could be a huge turning point for this team.
And with Joseph going Tuesday, that means Herbert Holtz will be probably on the weekend.
Yeah.
So he pitched really well on the weekend. I thought the last half of last season was really big, and then making that late run and getting to 17 wins in the conference and being able to host a regional. So maybe that'll be one little plus that'll help out this team, you know, in the second half of SEC play.
Yeah, it's been crazy. The midweeks, Auburn's pitching numbers have been really, really good.
Yeah, I think they're 7-1. And it was until
and their team ERA is around 3. Yeah, or I mean, maybe even better than that. Conference play, I was just looking, and again, you know, you can turn it down for like 30 seconds real quick if you want to. No, the team ERA in conference play is over 9. And Auburn only has 2 pitchers on the staff with ERAs under 8 in conference play. And John Armstrong, as much as he struggled yesterday, has Auburn's best team ERA in conference play. Yeah. And they've given up, by the way, Tom asked about homers, 15 conference games. Auburn's allowed 40 home runs.
That's just so many. It's tough to win when that keeps happening, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough.
All right, 334-321-1390. So many things to talk about. We haven't talked to Brian since Auburn added J.P. Pegues through the basketball transfer portal.
Well, first of all, I think it's a great pickup, and that's the guy Auburn targeted right away, got him in for a visit early on, and now he's signed with Auburn. So great pickup at a position of dire need. And I'm just trying to think about it, and I'm just wondering. I think he can be the best point guard Auburn's had maybe since
Harper.
Yeah, really. I really do. I think that's sort of where it lines up. Experienced, a guy who can shoot from 3, who can make free throws, who can run an offense, come off screens, do a lot of things in the half court, finish at the rim, get assists. Just you feel like you're getting a veteran point guard who's going to be able to run the show and step right in and be a difference maker for Auburn that position.
Yeah, what was the number Ferg was telling us the other day, Dan? He's just one of 9 players.
Yeah, with I think it was 18 points, 4 assists. I don't know if the – I think even the 4 rebounds.
It was 18, 4, and 4.
Yeah, was it 18, 4, and 4? Because I know it's a short list of players that even averaged – maybe it's under 20 who averaged 18 and 4 last year in major conference college basketball. So it's a really nice pickup for Auburn. And J.P. Pegues looking to make an impact in his last year of college basketball.
Yeah, and Auburn really needed that, obviously, with Aiden Holloway following Trey Donaldson into the portal.
Yeah.
Auburn needed that. Do you think they go after another guard?
I think they
maybe can, a combo?
I think that would make the most sense. Pettiford, they've talked about using him.
Primarily as a shooter.
Primarily is probably the word, but he can still work as a backup point maybe. But I think having another
Denver's
combo
shown
guy,
he can do it, you know, in short periods, short periods.
So I don't think they have to, but I still think when you look at Auburn's guard play, you look at what's happened in their recent trips to the NCAA tournament, I just think having an extra guard, one that can shoot threes, one that can play point or off guard, would just be a benefit to this team, right? I think there are times if they can find another good guard out there, maybe they could slide Denver down to the 3 and Chad Baker-Mazzara to the 4 sometimes and go
smaller teams.
Right,
yeah.
Just to mix things up a little bit. But we'll see. We'll see what they're able to find and how their roster is going to fit together. But I think they also need to probably find a guy who can come in here and be a complement at 4. I certainly think that,
maybe could compete for the starting spot there at the 4.
I think Janai's going to play 4 and 5. And, of course, you got
Dylan coming back. That's,
right.
That was good. That was nice news. Any idea as to when Janai will reach a decision?
I mean, we're getting a lot of positive feedback on him returning, but nobody's come out and said it's an absolute yet. But I think
folks,
it could be any day.
I get the feeling folks want to let Janai announce it rather than report that he's trending. Like if I had to speculate on it right now, I would think that he's returning, but I would let him decide. The deadline that he's working with officially is the NBA draft declaration deadline, which I believe is next week,
the 27th.
I believe the 27th is correct. Yeah. A week from
Saturday.
Is it a week from Saturday?
Yeah.
So a week from Saturday is the date that players have to declare for the NBA draft if they have college eligibility remaining. Janai, because he's already explored the draft multiple times in his college basketball career, he cannot return to college basketball if he declares for the draft anytime between now and April 27th. So we'll know for sure either A, when Janai announces something, or B, April 27th, when he either is or is not in the NBA draft list, you know, the list of available players. So, you know, we'll have some clarity by the end of the month. But it's, I think Auburn, especially trying to, if Auburn has to replace him, if he does not come back, Auburn would want to know as soon as they possibly can, because yeah. it will be difficult to, if you find out at the end of April that Janai Broome isn't coming back, your options to replace him are far more limited than they would be if you found out right now.
Yeah, so Auburn definitely in the market for another big of some type, a four most likely.
You still have Jalen's minutes to replace. You think losing those. I mean, I think Auburn, maybe some of those can be absorbed by Chaney Johnson with an uptick from how much he played.
I'm looking forward to seeing Chaney Johnson's progression from this year to next.
Right, and so maybe you can even, I mean, a way of looking at it would be maybe you can pencil in Chaney for Jalen's minutes, and then you're looking to replace Chaney Johnson. You think about, well, now you need to find someone who isn't on this year's team, or isn't on the roster right now, who can play however many minutes Chaney played in league play last year, which I think was right around 18 to 20, yeah, something like that. You're looking for someone like that. Maybe it could be a multi-year guy, right, who has a Chaney Johnson type season where he spends a year getting acclimated to major conference college basketball, and he gets to spend his second year as a focal point of the team. Or maybe it's a 1 year guy who comes in and is embracing the role of being the first man off the bench at the four with the expectation. I mean, would you be surprised if Auburn brought in someone who was in a position to beat Chaney out for the starting job?
I would be surprised.
You'd be surprised if Auburn, yeah. I mean, I would think that they're looking for depth behind Chaney at the four at the moment.
I think you may have hit on, I mean, Bruce has been, and Auburn have been very successful finding guys from that are wanting to take that step to the major conference level. I mean, I think they could go out and pitch somebody that they feel like, wow, here's a guy very similar to Chaney that could come in and try to go through that same progression, work his way up, and be the guy the next year, but get a good amount of playing time this year.
I think there's a third option too to consider, that they don't sign any other bigs, because they could go with a manly three man rotation at the four and five between Dylan.
Can you get enough?
Between Broome and between Chaney, and then they've got Adarian Scott right now. At this moment,
yeah, you got I guess you've also got Chris Moore that could play some four.
Right, he can play four too. Right, yeah, that's right.
Because
that's
we were talking about that the other day, wondering, and Dan asked the question, if you just had those three, are you confident in those three guys giving you 80 minutes? Because we haven't seen Dylan have to play 25 to 30 minutes in a game. I'd be a little concerned about fouls. If you only had those three.
Chaney's had foul trouble, certainly.
And Dylan has times in the past, too.
Yep. So that would be a concern. But I just think that's one other option to consider.
Sure. Well, it's fun. I mean, because right now, with the addition of Pegues, if Auburn gets Janai Broome back, Auburn's got to be, one of the favorites in the league for next year again.
Yeah. Let's see. They've lost KD. They've lost both point guards. Is that the only three they lost? No other graduation. They brought in Pegues so far.
Jalen was,
Jalen too. They've lost four. Right. So they've got those spots available on the roster if they need to fill them or if they can fill them.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think right now it's the big, literally, is Janai.
And I guess Leor was a scholarship player there too, so that's five. Okay.
All right, we'll get to our final break of hour number one. Love for you to join in. We gave away a couple of tickets to Auburn, Georgia Tech. Still have quite a few more. If you'd like baseball tickets for tomorrow night, looks like beautiful weather for Military Appreciation Night against Georgia Tech tomorrow night. Just call us, 334-321-1390. We'll set you up with those tickets for tomorrow night here from The Drive.
Inspired by the Bold Bison.
11390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from auburnsports.com here in the studio. Drew at the controls. And, once again, we've been enjoying courtesy of Brian Matthews. Some of Uncle Keith's delicious red sauce.
It is. Very good.
I'm telling you. That is really a makes the commercial breaks need to be longer. All right. We'd love to hear from you. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise. We talked about J.P. Pegues, the addition to the Auburn basketball roster. And we mentioned that the football portal is officially reopening tomorrow.
Did we mention that it's tax day?
No, we didn't.
Pay your taxes, folks.
Yeah, if you haven't, please go ahead.
They'll get you.
Got in early this time.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with the ERs, right?
No. No. you hope they're happy and don't correspond.
Yeah, in case they're listening, thank you for your service. We really appreciate all the great work you guys do. Just, you know.
I mean, only once have I made a mathematical mistake.
Did you know, remember when, I feel like tax day used to be a big day for like promotional stuff, right? Like, hey, yeah, it's April 15th, get your whatever here, because it's, I haven't seen as much of that this year. Maybe I'm not looking in the right circles. Actually, you can show me some during the commercial there. But yeah, but sign your mind your P's and Q's there, folks, as it is tax day here in America.
Yep. All right, so we have talked we talked a little baseball a while ago, and again, we've got tickets for Auburn, Georgia Tech tomorrow night. Tigers out of town. They've had back-to-back home weekends. And we're into the second half now of the of the conference schedule. Not that it's going to be easy, but I mean, at least Auburn doesn't have nothing but top five teams ahead.
Right. Right. And of course, Kentucky at the first of the season, you thought
Kentucky was, oh, that looked like, oh, well, Auburn gets a break after the first four series when they get Kentucky, who is the best team in the league right now, 14-1. You can't take anything for granted. The thing is, it's so crazy in this league with the talent. If Auburn were to, you know, get a good performance from Joseph Gonzalez tonight and gets and all of a sudden have things bounce right for Auburn. I mean, there's not a team in this league that you go, man, I really want to play them.
Right. No, of course not. It's a very, very talented league, especially at the very top right now. Auburn does go to Mississippi State next week, and they're 7-8 in the league. Down the stretch, they've got Alabama, who are 6-9. I think they play Ole Miss. Is that home or away? I can't remember. Who are 5-10. LSU, they got to go to LSU after Mississippi State. And LSU is struggling just like Auburn. They're 3-12.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Hard to believe.
But they won a championship. That's sort of the way it goes now. Three straight years, it looks like it could be the case of win the national championship, no postseason the next year.
Yeah, and then championship you got Missouri, hangover there.
Who is 5-10 in the last East. So Auburn's second half of the schedule is record-wise should be easier and should give them more opportunities to play better and maybe earn some more wins and maybe feel a little bit better about how things are going.
You got to play so well in the second half to get back into serious postseason consideration. You know, we were talking about 13, 14 wins probably being the number you need to look at. Auburn's at 2-12. You know, they need to play. Auburn would have to go 8-7 to finish 10-20. Like that's where Auburn is. I mean, Auburn would have to play. Think about that, Bill. Auburn would have to play above 500 the rest of the way in conference play to get to a 10-20 finish in league play at two and thirteen.
Yeah.
So it's not impossible. I think it would be the story of the college baseball season. If Auburn gets them up off the mat and rallies into serious postseason consideration, not out of the question with the talent they have, but unlikely. What we were talking about earlier, I would love to see one of these young pitchers, guys with eligibility remaining, make a stand the rest of the way and say, you're looking at something to be excited about. I'm going to be a foundational piece of next year's team. I'm going to be the Friday starter next year. I'm going to be the ace.
I'm going to be the anchor in the lineup.
Yes. I mean, there's some of that too. But I think especially with the way the pitching staff has struggled.
They really, really need to find something.
Someone, you'll take anybody, but I'd say especially with eligibility remaining, you know, somebody who's going to be here next year saying, I'm the guy that you can pencil in as Auburn's top option in the rotation next year. Because right now it's pretty it's pretty wide open when you think about you know where and some of the option some of the top options might not be on the roster.
Right. I think the number one pitcher on Auburn's rotation next year is probably playing for somebody else right now. Be my opinion, but we'll see how that goes.
And that can change over the last 15 games of conference play.
Oh yeah, and it again. If you'd like, we have some tickets tomorrow night. Auburn wrapping up this long homestand with a game against Georgia Tech. It's Military Appreciation Night. We have tickets, and they're just yours for the asking. 334-321-1390. Speaking of baseball, we've got our Tiger Take segment coming up at the bottom of hour number two with Cooper McMurray. He'll be joining us, so we'll talk with him. But in the meantime, until then, we'll keep the lines open. Love for you to join in for hour number two, 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar, or you can text us on the Drive text box presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, 334-564-1840.
Sports capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in, hour number two of the Monday Drive. Hope everybody doing well on a beautiful, but it is pretty warm Monday. Get used to it.
The 90s are coming.
Spring is about done. And, it won't be summer for quite a while, but it is much warmer than it has been. It is gorgeous. I think maybe the pollen's about done, though, Brian.
That would be wonderful.
I mean, look at the cars.
No, this is... You know what? Jason Voorhees.
No.
He's not dead yet.
I'm not saying it. I said it's about done. But, I mean, it's not like, there's going to be a whole nother, another round of pollen.
No highs in the 90s in the foreseeable future.
Yeah, but highs in the 80s every day.
Highs in the 80s every day. But I think, we've had some, I think the lows in the 40s are mostly done. You know, we may have had our last 40-degree night.
I hope so.
For a while this past weekend, and it could be gradually warming up. But some beautiful weather this weekend, and hopefully we get some more of that over the next last couple weeks of the spring semester here in Auburn.
We'd love for you to join in here in hour number two of The Drive. You can do so by calling The Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. That number's 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. You can go to ESPNAU.com, use the podcast center, or go to go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron.
And hour number two of The Drive brought to you, as usual, by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. Love to hear from you. Again, anything on your mind, something we have not mentioned, and it was almost because it was sort of ho-hum down the stretch yesterday. Scotty Scheffler just, cruising down the stretch to his second Masters win in 3 years.
Well, it's that stretch, it's Amen Corner, right? I mean,
a four-way tie, like, through six?
11, 12, and 13,
And then, bam.
So many golfers, they get into the back nine feeling pretty good about their chances, and then something goes wrong over and over again. Things seem to go wrong on 11, 12, or 13 for guys, and for everybody but Scheffler, that was the case. I thought Morikawa looked really good after the first couple of holes. I was feeling good about my pick to win the thing, but he even he sends one uncharacteristically, misses right to left, and that was the end of his chances. And Scheffler more or less cruises down the stretch to win a second in a row. And he's not. His celebrity pales in comparison to Tiger or anything like that.
Yeah, but his game is pretty reminiscent of Tiger, as far as just, consistent ball striker, and he's he's just deadly. I mean, it's amazing.
He seems to be, at least at the moment, you know, he's the guy who's going to be the favorite. You know, he's played his way into a situation where he's going to be the favorite in golf tournaments for the foreseeable future because of the way he's...
Yeah, it's easy to see why he's rated number one in the world.
Yeah, number one in the world, back-to-back Masters champion. I mean, this guy is he's raised his game to a level above pretty much everybody else.
So, yeah, we can we'll talk whatever you'd like. Football, basketball, baseball. We just mentioned the Masters there. We'll get to the Drive hotline, and Jerry gets us started. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I was really glad to see Scotty Scheffler win the tournament. He's a true gentleman. And
go ahead.
He played great. Made the fewest mistakes of anybody. You know, he obviously deserved it.
I agree, and I really liked how I think before the tournament started, his wife was close to giving birth, and he said, "If she goes in labor, I'm out of here." Basically, now that might have changed if he was on the 16th. You know, yesterday it happened. Of course, they probably wouldn't
hold
told
it.
Him.
Hold yeah. it. Yes.
but that just it just seems like he has his priorities in order. In my opinion.
That was pretty cool. Listen, I saw with the quarterback in Carrollton. Is the number one rated player in the country?
Yes, he is, yes.
And did he commit to Texas A&M?
I think the kid from Carrollton is
Juju Lewis.
Yes, he's committed to USC. He is ranked the number one quarterback and number one player overall. The kid that committed to Texas A&M yesterday.
It's Hassan.
Longstreet. Mm-hmm. He was Hassan, down to Auburn and Texas A&M, and he chose Texas A&M on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, and that is when you're going for the best, you're not going to win them all. But right. I know some Auburn fans are a little concerned that they're finishing second a couple of times here
they have.
Recently.
But I mean, they're really rolling in recruiting and. Unlike some previous staffs, it's not if we don't get this guy, we have to settle for this guy you've never heard of. They'll just go after some other guys. And Hassan Longstreet, he was from California, chose to be a little bit close to home in A&M. And even though Julian Lewis, who's committed to USC, K.J. Lacy, who's the number three quarterback in the country.
And he's committed to Texas. He's Ryan Williams.
Yes.
Former teammate down at Saraland.
Auburn is going to continue to recruit those guys really hard. Both those guys have been to visit here this spring, I believe, and I would expect they'll be here on official visits at some point too. So I wouldn't close the door on either of those two guys.
Yeah, I think Alabama and Georgia are still trying to get in on Juju Lewis as well. He's committed to USC, but he's taking visits. So,
hey, I sure would like to see him come to Auburn.
Oh, yeah.
All right, guys. Great show.
Appreciate the call, Jerry. Yeah, I mean, let's see. Where are we as far as commits now for Auburn?
I think it's around
10. I was thinking it was 10.
I pull it up real quick here.
Who was the last one? The offensive lineman, I believe. I think Auburn got an offensive lineman last week.
Carter Smith from Mobile, a really talented offensive tackle. They are up to 10 commitments. Right now, Auburn is ninth in the country. In the team recruiting rankings, and I'm willing to bet that most of the guys ahead of Auburn have more than more than 10 commitments. Let's see. Notre Dame is first with 19, Ohio State 13, LSU 12, USC 12, Oklahoma 13. Yeah, so every team above Auburn right now has the same or more commitments. Only Alabama and Auburn both have 10, and Alabama's eighth, Auburn's ninth. So until you get to 20 commitments, that's when everything evens out as far as rivals rankings go. So there will be a little disparity there, but Auburn's putting together a really good class. Their average star rank is 3.8, which would put them – let me pull up this real quick and see average star. Oh, won't do that right now, but that would put them, I think, in the top three or four in the country.
Now I mentioned Auburn finishing second on a couple of guys. Alvin Henderson committing to Penn State.
Yep.
The other day, the running back.
Yep.
I mean, Auburn's got a nice situation at running back right now, but they definitely want to add a big time addition to that room for next year.
Yeah, they're actually looking for two running backs, and I would not completely count out Alvin Henderson for Auburn. There's still a long way to go.
Oh, yeah.
He seems to visit a lot of schools.
And, he's been sort of back and forth a few times.
Now, Auburn's in on some other really good backs that they can make a move for. I'm quite sure. Well, they offered the Bo Jackson kid. I don't know if he's one of their top targets, but Usan Kroma from Lee County over in Georgia is a guy that Auburn's very high on. He's a four-star, the number five running back in the country. And then Shakai Miles Knight from Chattanooga, Tennessee. He's in, and both these guys are big backs. Mills Knight is 6'2", 217. I don't know how you, if it's Kroma, I don't know if that's the correct pronunciation
for his name.
He is 6'2", 218. And both those guys, I think, are guys that are going to visit Auburn and guys that Auburn's in, you know, at least pretty good to decent shape for at the moment.
Yeah, so it will be it'll be interesting. Auburn would like to, I think they'd like to go ahead and have a couple more guys added before, before the end of the summer. I mean, you'd expect Auburn to try to be around at least 15, wouldn't you?
Yeah, or actually even more because they're going to have so many official visitors now coming through and over the next 2.5 months through June. So I would not be surprised at their current rate if they don't have, like a lot of these top schools do, over 20. I mean, I think 15 mm-hmm. might be the bottom.
Well, that's what I was saying, at least 15. Yeah, but sure, you'd like to be at around 20. Yeah. And we'll know a little bit more around the numbers. We talked about this in the first hour. Have a little better idea on some of the numbers starting tomorrow. I think that when the transfer portal opens, I wouldn't be surprised to see Auburn have 6 to 8 players enter the portal. And I don't know that they would replace every single one of those numbers, but I would think they'd like to get at least 2/3 of whatever enters the portal numbers-wise back.
I think that's probably about right, and we'll just have to see what transpires here as far as outgoing. But, they're going to get either guys that can help them that have 1 year of eligibility or guys maybe that have three or four years of eligibility that can help them in the coming years, too. You saw that in the last class. They got some offensive linemen and some younger players that not necessarily helped out right away, but you can see as future starters here. So I think they'll look at both.
All right, Brian, let's stick with football here for a few more minutes. And again, we'd love for you to join in, whatever you want to talk about, 334-321-1390. We talked a little bit about it last Monday when we were looking back at A-Day. Had a little more time to just sort of have everything settle a little bit. What were your feelings? Not so much about A-Day, but just spring, when you look at this team and where it now sits, needing a few more additions, but heading into summer workouts and into next season, as compared to what we saw wrapping up last year.
Well, the biggest difference, and we talked about this last week, but it's worth talking about again, is the wide receiver position, right? That's just so mm-hmm. much better than it was a year ago. I think the guys they've got now are more reliable. They can catch the ball better. They can run routes better. They have the ability now, especially a guy like Cam Coleman, to stretch the field, to make plays, to make those 50-50 catches, So I think the speed, the athleticism, the catch radius, the big play ability is all better at that position. It's not perfect, but it's a much, much better. And that's going to make Peyton Thorne, who I'm just going to go ahead and say is going to be the starter, and that whole passing offense better next year. I just feel strongly about that. I think adding Percy Lewis at left tackle is also a big addition there. I'm not saying he's a All-American and first-round draft pick, but I think having him there and D-Wade next to him at guard is going to be better for Auburn in the passing game and in the running game. I think maybe more importantly than all that, not as important as wide receiver, but having Hugh Freeze and having his folks, Derek Nix,
Ken Austin,
everybody on the same page offensively, same terminology, same system. It was a bit of a mess last year. It's not going to be that way this year. So I think that's a big boost for the offense. Defensively, I think, they've got some holes up front with some youth and with some guys who are good, but maybe not necessarily great. Maybe they will be. I think Keldrick Falk is going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is the year he will be. So they need to fill some holes there. I think the linebacker position is going to be real strong, and I think the one position that got better and maybe is the most surprising position on the team is the defensive backfield. I think the 13 or so defensive backs they signed over the last two classes have come in and really competed and given Auburn some good starters, some good depth, and a guy like Champ Anthony, who nobody was really talking about this time last year. I don't even think he's part of the team this time last year. He wasn't.
I don't know. He was a late addition.
He came
right.
in June.
I'm not sure. Had he committed?
No.
No.
He came in June.
Yeah. He was a late.
He was a late signee.
Maybe it was July.
Yeah. I wonder if Champ Anthony was a commitment.
No, he was not. I wonder if Auburn was even aware of him at this time last year.
I don't know. But a guy like him coming in and just working his tail off, have a great attitude. You know, sometimes you need guys like that when you're trying to rebuild a roster that can step up and fill an important role. I think he'll be the nickel. You got Keontae Scott back, and you've got some good transfers and some good freshmen and sophomores that are going to be able to start and rotate in kindly, another guy. So I think the secondaries end up being – I'm not going to say the strength, but I'm going to say pretty darn good, pretty salty.
I think the secondary could be very solid. I mean, you've got some young guys, so there will be some busts, there will be some mistakes and things like that. But I think they've got depth of talent that just needs some experience.
Yeah, I agree. And it all starts in the line of scrimmage, so that's the one area on defense you worry about.
And I can't imagine a team being in a better situation than Auburn is as far as kickers.
Towns McGoo was incredible in the A-Day game.
And Alex McPherson was nearly perfect last year.
He was perfect.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, he was perfect in field goals and extra points.
I could have stood a kickoff or two to go in deeper in the end zone.
Well, you know, if they want to go ahead.
That's what Towns, I think, can do this year.
Yeah, if they want to go ahead and let him play and not redshirt him, let him kick off and, you know, let him fill in when you give him a chance. So,
if you need a 65-yard field goal,
yeah,
you can bring in Towns.
Yeah. So I think, and of course, getting Oscar Chapman back at punter.
Was that a little bit of a surprise to you? I really just expected him to go ahead and move on to the pros.
It was. I did not expect that. But, he's a guy that's an older guy. He'll bring experience. This will be his third year or fourth year starting. I think it's third year, if I'm not mistaken. But just a really talented dude who gets really good hang time, I feel like, and should be one of the SEC's best. So that should be a strength for Auburn, I would think.
Oh, yeah. And he obviously loves it at Auburn.
Yeah. And Auburn signed a lot of good athletes in this last class, at linebacker, at receiver, positions that play a lot of special teams.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to see a lot of those guys on special teams early before maybe they start getting more playing time at their particular position. Guys like the Riddick kid at linebacker or Joe Phillips at linebacker. Those guys are going to be really good players on defense.
A lot of the guys you're talking about there in the secondary as well.
Yeah, yep. They're going to be good players, but a lot of times those good players really start showing it on special teams.
To me, maybe the player that, you know, if you had to ask me about like a guy who's raised his stock from the outside looking in, like a guy who's raised his stock from where he looked like he was going into, not counting any newcomers, because I guess I didn't think Gage Keys and Trill Carter were necessarily going to be both first-team defensive linemen coming out of spring practice, and that seems to be where they were at A-Day.
Right.
Colton Hood, right? Is that the answer, Bill? I mean, as far as a guy who –
you're right. You're probably right. Is the guy that people didn't have near the top of a depth chart that everybody talked about, offense and defense, talked about Colton Hood.
Yeah, and I think him and Tyler Scott are going to continue to compete for that other starting spot. Well, no, they'd actually be a backup because you got Keontae Scott at one corner.
Competing for the number three spot, really.
Yeah. And then, that third, which is always a very important spot. Actually, really, your top two at corner and at both corners at nickel are vitally important because those DBs can get nicked up. You have to play it a lot in just a regular game. So,
third corner plays a lot. You know, the number three guy. I mean, you think about Auburn the last couple of years. I mean, beyond it was DJ and Nehemiah, but you had other guys playing a lot beyond Keontae. Well,
Kyan had to start four games last year as a true freshman.
Pepper Lee.
Yep. You know, played every other game.
Yep. But Colton is somebody who, and I think it's exciting too because, you know, he's an Auburn legacy and a Southeastern prospect and, you know, a product and things like that. But he has really seemingly played his way into serious consideration this year, which is not. I didn't necessarily have that one on my bingo card.
Yeah, and those guys play really aggressive. You're going to like watching them play, especially DJ Jerkins' defense.
I remember hearing when we got to talk with Crime Dog during spring practice, and he said the snap. He's made this point, but the snaps that the young defensive backs got last year, it's so tough to pull a DJ James or a Nehemiah Pritchett off the field because they need rest, mm-hmm. you know, and they need a break. And when you do that, you're putting in someone like Kane Lee or Champ Anthony, and that's, you know, it's so tough. But this year, you know, that's gonna pay dividends. The fact that Lee and I think especially Lee and Anthony, like those two guys getting to play college football last year, Auburn is not relying on inexperienced players or guys who are you know going to be in over their heads getting into getting deeper into conference play. Or Auburn doesn't have to go outside the program. That's the other concern, right? I mean, Auburn doesn't have to go outside the program and bring in defensive backs, more veteran options, because right. they don't know what they have in Lee and Champ Anthony. They feel like they have starters in yeah. Lee and Champ Anthony, and sounds like they have every reason to believe that.
Yeah, they did go out in the early portal and get some guys. Is it Kite or Kite?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's Kite or Kite.
I heard someone. I thought
someone
I heard
pronounced him Kite, but I think Hugh called him.
Yeah,
Kite.
I think mm-hmm. I've heard Kite there, and I hope I'll check on that. But he's Spooty is, by the way, the nickname yeah. that I like.
That's right.
It's Spooty Kite and Bug Thompson, yeah. right? So they're Spooty and Bug. So if you hear this is like when they were calling Nehemiah Might. And we were trying to figure out who yeah. in the world, who is Might? But it's, when you hear players or coaches talk about Spooty, they're talking about the Alabama transfer defensive back, yeah. Antonio Kite, who's also probably in that conversation, right, to get some snaps
mm-hmm, in corner. Or maybe nickel.
With Colton. And then Bug Thompson is the Texas transfer.
Jaron, but known as Bug.
Yes. Yeah, yes. Bug Thompson, who's also somebody who in the mix there at safety, although, Bill, I would say Sylvester Smith is the other guy.
I'll tell you what, there are three guys that it looks like two of them are going to start. I mean, you've got Caleb Wooden,
yep.
and then Thompson and Sylvester Smith, yep. and those three safeties are going to play a lot.
Yep.
I can't guarantee you which one, right. which two will start.
And then watch out for Laquan Robinson, the JUCO transfer. Yep. I think he was still figuring things
swimming,
out.
Swimming, as we hear the coaches say.
After a full summer, maybe this fall, he can make a push.
He's a big guy who yes. can really run.
And this could, I mean, there could be a transfer or two where Auburn loses some of these guys. I would also lump Terrence Love in there as somebody who we didn't hear as much about, mm-hmm. but there's still a lot of promise, and he has fans in the program. So we'll see if he can make a push for some more playing time. A crowded room at yep. safety this year.
All right, we'll get to our first break here of hour number two. Love for you to join in here on the Monday Drive.
Since 1997, RiverCityDoor.com.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com here in the studio with Drew at the controls. Love for you to join in. A reminder, I don't know that I've mentioned it this hour. We have some tickets for Auburn's baseball game against Georgia Tech tomorrow night. It is Military Appreciation Night. And Joseph Gonzalez is going to get the start for the Tigers. So if you would like to go over to the ballpark tomorrow evening, just give us a call, 334-321-1390. Drew will get you set up. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise? You've got the WNBA draft.
Caitlin Clark expected to be the number one overall pick yep. by the Indiana Fever.
That's probably locked, yeah.
Now, I did hear someone a little earlier today. I think it was on I don't know where it was on. It was here. It was on ESPN 106.7.
Okay.
So I don't remember remember which show.
All the best to Doug.
Oh, absolutely.
All the best, Doug Amos.
Thoughts and prayers
too. Yeah. Loss in the family. There was mm-hmm. not a show today.
Right.
He's down in Pensacola with family I believe Friday. There will also not be an addition.
Friday the services.
Yeah, they're of the round table. So it's all the best to Doug, but I think they will be back on the air tomorrow.
So I heard an analyst earlier today talking about this is as important a day in WNBA history. In the I believe she said this is 28 years, and in year 28 of the NBA, she goes, where was the NBA in year 28? I don't know. Probably, nowhere near as prominent as it has been for the last couple of decades, for sure.
I mean, I do think that there's probably never been a player.
She said player. She said this analyst, and I didn't hear who it was, said in her mind, Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese are the Larry Bird and Magic Johnson of the WNBA, and that's going to be the explosion of the WNBA.
I'm pessimistic on Reese's
ability. I'm not going to go that far.
I'm pessimistic on Reese's ability to dominate in the WNBA because the post players are better and the...
She wasn't concerned about her dominating, just that the eyes that will be drawn.
Well, I think that if... Well, Magic and Larry Bird were the two best
because
players.
Because they were the two... They were.
Like,
it wasn't just because...
If Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark are going to be Bird and Magic, Angel Reese needs to be a top five WNBA.
Yeah, because Larry Bird was not the media darling. Like, I mean, it was somebody that.
Like if you want to say, like, to me, Sabrina stands out as the obvious rival for Caitlin Clark when she gets to the NBA because she was a highly touted college basketball shooter from just 2 or 3 years ago. To me, that's the rival, and they're similar style. They're similar players. Like, to me, that would be. Granted, there is a racial component to Bird versus Magic that would not be when you talk about Caitlin versus. But I would say. Caitlin Clark comes into the WNBA draft with as much celebrity as any player who has ever come into the WNBA draft before. Diana Taurasi was a very big deal.
She would be
the closest, you know, as far as the Candace Parker was very famous coming out of Tennessee, but these are examples from 2 decades ago. Right? I would say Caitlin Clark is more famous than Sabrina was. A couple of years ago when Sabrina was coming out of college basketball into the WNBA. And I saw something that virtually every Indiana game is going to be nationally televised this year for the WNBA. So, I mean, Caitlin, like, and this is a team that apparently wasn't on national television very often this past season. They're picking first overall for a reason. And now with the likely injection of Caitlin Clark into the program, they'll be a hot ticket. On the road, I mean, I think she'll need to continue her high quality of play at the WNBA level. But every reason to believe they're going to be a hot ticket when they're at home, on the road, and something that has people tuning in on television as well.
Yeah. And speaking of women's basketball, Brian, Auburn picked up a big time transfer.
Arkansas Razorbacks.
Yes. Talia, is it Lewis? Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I think she averaged 22.1 points.
Is it Talia Scott?
Okay, there you go, Scott. I'm sorry, yeah. 22.1 points as a true freshman in Arkansas last year. I mean, that's a really, really good player. That should step in and be a leader for next year's team. And if you watched this year's team, they played really good defensively, right?
They did. They got after it defensively.
But they just needed more scorers, more natural playmakers on offense, and I think they've got definitely one there. You know, we'll see what else they can add to the roster. But, that, you know, you can see that women's program, the first NCAA bid in 5 years, right? Now they went out and got up one of the top – I think she was top three or four in the country in the portal.
She was very highly touted coming out of high school.
It's very nice to go get a player who put 30 up on you.
No kidding.
And that's what happened. Auburn
and it has plenty of eligibility left.
Yes, just her first year in college basketball this past year, 22 points and 3 rebounds a game for Arkansas in year one, going into the portal and coming to Auburn to be a centerpiece of their offense moving forward. Huge get for Coach J.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Congratulations. Big pickup for Coach J. All right, we will get to our bottom of the hour break. We'll talk with Cooper McMurray, Tiger Takes, on the other side. Stick with us here on the Monday Drive.
With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com here in the studio. And it's time now for our weekly Tiger Take segment brought to you by the Alsobrook Law Group. When you need legal assistance, call Zach. He's got your back. Or find him on the web at alsolaw.com. And we're joined once again by Auburn first baseman Cooper McMurray here on the drive. Coop, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Doing pretty well, man. Loving it. It's feeling like, you know, maybe the cool weather's behind us. It feels like baseball now.
Yeah, finally. It was pretty hot out there today, but, you know, rather have that than the 40 degrees with wind. So
Thursday night was a little chilly.
Oh yeah.
We're at the ballpark, and I had thought, I mean, it felt really nice during the day, but there weren't any clouds, and it's like, so I went t-shirt and nylon windbreaker, and it's like, if my wife hadn't brought the blanket, I wussed out. I mean, I had the blanket around me like a cape.
I mean, if I could have, I would have too. So,
man, well, there's no way around it, man. A rough week this past week. I mean, just got to, again, realize that we're at the midway point and just try to put those behind you and get things turned around.
Yeah, definitely a disappointing week in all aspects of the game. But, yeah, you know, brand new week, and, you know, we're hungry, we're ready to get this second half of SEC play going.
Yeah, I was struck by listening to the pregame on Saturday. Listen to Butch talk with Andy. He mentioned that the captains had some input on Tanner Bowman getting the start on Saturday, and I thought Tanner was impressive. You know, left the game after a couple of scoreless innings.
Maybe as good as he's been, four scoreless. Yeah,
in that game on Saturday, and I was just thinking, I mean, what was it that you think went into the decision to go with? To go with Tanner, and what is it that made him the choice?
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's a veteran guy. You know, he's not going to get too high, too low. And yeah, he had a couple of rough outings right before that. But you know, in my opinion, I'd have him on the mound in the most pressure spot because you know what you're going to get with him every day, and it's the same energy, it's the same type of guy every day. So It was awesome to see him, you know, get in a rhythm and, you know, start that game off with you know, what looked like they couldn't touch him. So it was good to see that, and I was happy for him. But, yeah, you know, so I think that's just what kind of went into it is, you know, we want somebody that's going to compete on the mound. And, you know, whether it's going good or not, you know, Bauman's going to compete. So I think that was the overall decision.
On the other side, Eric Guevara, you know, battling his way from injury into playing shape. I think a lot of folks weren't expecting to see him, if at all, this soon. And he comes out and goes 4-for-9 in his first week of college baseball.
Yeah, you know, he's a special kid. He's a special player, but he's an awesome teammate also. So you know, I was happy with being able to see him have success this weekend, and you know, he's going to be a great player for this program for the next 2 years or however long he stays. But yeah, no, it was awesome to see him get out there, and it's crazy to see him, you know, SEC baseball, you know, he just kind of got thrown into it.
Yeah.
But then you go 4-for-9 and get your first career homer. So yeah, no, I was super happy for him, and he's an amazing kid. So yeah, we all root for him.
Coop, you're one of the leaders, the experienced guys on this team. I mean, baseball is such a streaky game. It always has been. It is for individuals, and it can be for teams. It's crazy sometimes that, you know, slumps or streaks can just sort of carry over to the whole team. But as a guy who's been through it and one of the elder statesmen, I guess, if you will, of this team, how do you try to go about, you know, just keeping or getting everybody on that even keel and just get them to, you know, try to put the blinders on it and look ahead and not back?
Yeah, I mean, I think the new rankings came out today, and so I think we played our last four series were against the 1, 2, 3, and 4 teams ranked in the country, which is pretty crazy. But, you know, you got to just put things into perspective. I mean, I think if you look at the standings right now, Everyone we need to beat is ahead of us. I think that's the message. So
yep.
I think, you know, being able to put the first half behind us, obviously it's not how we wanted it to go. But, you know, showing up to the field every day, being the same teammate, being the same guy, and kind of just trying to lead by example. You know, talk can only get you so much. But, you know, when you show up every day and like a lot of the guys on our team, the same attitude, same effort, you know, it rubs off on people. So that's what I'm hoping for. And yeah, I think everyone's super excited for this next half.
And keeping a sort of a big picture look at the team and the season, to see guys getting their first taste of college baseball, to see younger players making the case that they're part of, you know, that they're going to be a big part of this program for years to come. Another home run Saturday for Cade. Like I'm real impressed with the way he's swinging the bat right now.
Yeah. I mean, if you, he's a freak athlete, I think, is the best way to describe him. You know, he's a massive kid, but he has the whereabouts about him that he can slow his breathing down and get in the box and compete. And you know, college baseball is a humbling game, and I think that some of the guys on our team are realizing that. And you know, you're going to get pushed down, you're going to get beat, but you know, it's about how many times you can get back up and you know, continue. And I think that Cade has done a great job with that, and I think a lot of our freshmen have. So it's really promising for this program. I mean, this program is going to be fine. I think the amount of athletes we have and the amount of ball players that are going to be in this program is amazing. And you can, there's little glimpses of that all the time this year.
Before you get back into SEC play, you've got another home game here on the homestand with Georgia Tech coming in tomorrow night, and Joseph's going to get the start. Man, it'd be great to see him be able to get something he can build that confidence with, because the stuff still appears to be there. It's just, you know, him being able to put some things together with a little consistency, and Auburn's been pretty darn good here in the midweek games.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Joe, it's all about that confidence, and you know, the knowing that the eight guys behind him are gonna play their butts off for him. So I think it's just about him getting up there and you know, letting it rip. I think, you know, I think his arm feels good. I think everything's perfect. I think it's just, you know, taking that next step of, you know, and we all know how good Joseph can be. I mean, we've all seen the highlights of him and him going complete games with 80 pitches. So, you know, everyone in the dugout and everyone on the team knows it's there. So I think, you know, I think it's exciting for him tomorrow. And yeah, Georgia Tech's a great team. I think, you know, they got a couple guys that can swing it, and you know, they got the arms. So yeah, it's going to be a tough one for us, but I think it's important we get off on the right start tomorrow.
And then as a result, I mean, Christian going to get an opportunity. He's really been pitching well here in the midweek games and earning that opportunity to get a start over the weekend.
Yeah, you know, the thing with Herb is, you know, he doesn't try to do too much. You know, he knows his stuff and how to throw it for strikes, and, you know, he can land all of his pitches for strikes, and I think that's huge. I think, you know, a lot of the guys in today's game are getting on how hard you can throw or, I mean, how many strikeouts you have, but Herb just goes up there and competes and, you know, gives it everything he's got. So, I mean, we all love playing defense behind Herb, so hopefully that goes well for us this weekend.
I guess, is this your first trip to Starkville? I didn't know if you'd come in before you'd come over to Auburn.
Yeah, no, sir, I haven't been there, so I'm excited to get out there.
This is going to be an experience.
I mean, there are some top-tier atmospheres around college baseball and in the SEC, and I think Starkville's on that list. Like, that's going to be
I think it's their spring game weekend. So,
oh yeah,
hopefully we get some good crowds.
Well, they don't need a spring football game to add to the fans, exactly. To add to the crowd.
Exactly.
I mean, Duty Noble's going to be packed, absolutely. Hey, I got a text from one of our listeners, Tex, who was a former catcher for Auburn baseball back in the day. He wondered about how you feel about your brother getting a chance to be able to come see you now that he's no longer playing.
Yeah, no, it was awesome to get him into Auburn and, you know, see a couple games. You know, I don't think he's seen me play since we played together in high school, just because we've both been playing college baseball. So, yeah, I mean, it was a really special weekend for my family and him being able to be here. So, yeah, it was awesome.
Well, that's great. Cooper, we really appreciate it. Always, always great to have the opportunity to talk with you.
I had a coach tell me a long time ago, Cooper, difficult times make dangerous teams, right? You guys, you face some of the best teams in college baseball first half of the year, but I love the attitude as you guys round the corner into the second half of the season.
Yeah, I think, you know, this team's, it's very, very battle-tested, as people would say. So I think if we can get some things on a roll and get going, I think, you know, look up and see what happens when we're done. So,
absolutely. Hey, let everybody know how they can follow you on social media.
Yes, my Twitter is at CoopMC9, and my Instagram is CMcMurray_.
All right, Coop, thanks a lot. Best of luck this week. We'll talk to you again next time.
See you, bud.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys very much.
That's Cooper McMurray with Tiger Takes, proudly presented each Monday by the Alsobrook Law Group, on the web at alsolaw.com. Drive.com.
He's great.
He really is.
This is not the easiest time. No, and you know what? And I've told you before. You know, talking to a head coach after a loss is the toughest part. Talking to the head coach after the loss, one of the tougher parts of the Troy job, and the season's not going the way that folks wanted it to. But Cooper is he's standing up there every Monday answering the questions and being thoughtful and respectful and giving us great answers, and I really enjoyed that.
All right, we will get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to join in if you'd like, and also pick up some Auburn Georgia Tech tickets for tomorrow night. 334-321-1390. We are continuing with the Monday Drive.
Trust Dixie
Overhead. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the final segment of the Monday Drive. Bill, Dan, and Brian. Got Drew at the controls and Tex is on the Drive Hotline presented by Skybar. Hey, Tex.
Hey, Tex.
Thanks for the question.
Hey, guys. Hey, well, thanks for talking to him. I tell you, first met his mom in Jacksonville at the Jacksonville tournament, and then got to meet his brother with his mom. Was with his mom at the UT series, and you if you met them, you wouldn't wonder why he handles himself so well. There wouldn't be a question. He comes from a really neat family.
Yeah, he really is a good kid.
He's really, I hate to call him a kid.
But yeah, that's true. Well, he is to me.
They're kids. They're kids to us. Hey, just real quick, this weekend, Cindy and I were in Orlando, Florida, at an event, and Auburn University has a great adaptive sports group. Most people recognize the basketball team,
right?
But this weekend I got to run in again into the wheelchair tennis program that finished third in the collegiate nationals down in Orlando, Florida at the USTA headquarters. So they do a great job, and it's great to watch. I'm not a big tennis fan, but I could watch these athletes.
You're not a big tennis fan, but you're Mr. Pickleball.
Oh, well, that's not the same sport.
I know it's not the same sport, but it would seem
totally
like...
Totally different.
You'd be impressed by some things you'd see on the tennis court.
Oh, I am. That's the reason I'm telling you about Auburn's... I mean, they finished third in the country in the team event, and they've got an athlete going in May to the individual events that has a chance. He's in the final four to win the individual singles match coming up in May. So they really, really impressed me. I will just tell you, if you ever get a chance and Auburn wheelchair tennis is putting something on, you need to go out and watch them, because it's remarkable to be around those athletes too. And I do appreciate tennis. So if my wife was with me, I'd already got slapped in the back of the head because she plays tennis all the time.
Uh-huh.
So I do enjoy
I thought so.
Now I'm trying to dig my way out of this hole before somebody that's listening calls my wife and tells her. But anyway, look, man, when I heard we were up 7-0 on Saturday, and then the next thing I looked, when I turned it on, we were down, I was just in shock. Was there any reason why we changed pitchers up 7-0 with 50-some-odd pitches?
I think that's
the most Tanner's thrown all year.
Yeah, I think so. And then he did give up that leadoff single in the fifth, and that's when they pulled him. So I don't know. I mean, I can understand why they're having a quicker trigger after everything that's happened this season. You know, so
it's one of those things now where whatever you do, it just seems to backfire. You want to stick with somebody, and it's like, oh man, you should have pulled him. Then you take him out, and nobody else can.
Well,
get the job
if you
done.
Would have polled 100 out of 100 people in the stands, it would have been 100 out of 100 saying, let's bring in John Armstrong. He basically no-hit Tennessee the week before, but it just didn't work out this time.
Yeah, best I've ever seen him was the weekend before against Tennessee. So I agree. I just wonder, because I didn't know if there was an injury or what.
No, I don't think so.
He pitched extremely well. I'm not questioning our staff. Believe me, I've known Butch Thompson for a long, long time, and I'm not going to question Butch. So we need to find a way to do something over these next 2 weeks. And I know they're working hard at it. We just need to catch a break one time and one of them fall our way.
Yeah.
And maybe that'll put us back on track. Hey, thanks for the time. Don't forget, Auburn University Wheelchair Tennis, they are a great program, so if you get the opportunity to see them, go out and see them.
Appreciate the update, Tex.
Great stuff, Tex.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right. We got a couple of minutes left. Brian, let everybody know about everything they can find. First of all, you got your Monday Musings, which are about let's go ahead and say that they're brought to you by.
Yes, Uncle Keith's Red Sauce. We tried it today together, and I think it was 4 out of 4.
Oh, no question.
Double thumbs up
double
there.
Double thumbs up.
Oh, yes.
And I would like to thank them for being a sponsor of this show and also a sponsor of my Monday Musings and our website, auburnsports.com. It should be another busy week. I think recruiting really goes to the forefront this week. Mm-hmm. The official visitor, the defensive lineman, I think he arrived today.
Yeah, Philip Bleedy.
Yeah, from Indiana. So that's a big target for Auburn in the portal. And we'll be watching that closely along with a number of other visitors that will be coming in the coming weeks. And, of course, with the portal officially opening tomorrow, there'll be players coming and going, I would imagine.
That's football. The basketball portal has been open. Auburn's added one and probably looking for more.
Yep, the Pegues kid was a terrific pickup, I feel like, at point guard. And they could look for a big down there that can play some four and maybe another guard, too. That may be pushed to later on, maybe not right away.
Find out for sure what's going on with the current roster.
Yep, and then we'll continue to cover the baseball team. Softball got a nice win at LSU this weekend. Good for them, right?
Yes.
And everything else that pops up over the next week.
And your musings today?
Prince.
16 years?
Ooh.
Is that what you had, 16 years ago?
I think it was.
Ago?
That was – what was it? It was the
performances at the Fox.
Yeah, yeah, his final ever performance right before he passed away at the Fox Theater in Atlanta. And
that
would
be 16
Rain.
Years ago.
No.
Yeah, it would be
about a decade.
It was 2016.
Oh, so. It was 2016. Oh, I knew there was a 16.
8 years ago.
Yeah, I was going, has it been that long? No. Okay. But great stuff as always. Brian, we appreciate it. Thanks for coming, and thanks for bringing the Uncle Keith for us.
I'll bring it again sometime soon.
And we will definitely appreciate that. Hey, we've had fun here on this Monday. Hope you did as well. Love for you to join in tomorrow, but we're out of time here on the Monday Drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.